Welcome to Sports Mad Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past week, we had three posts on sportsmedrez.org. That's res.org. In the first post, we described the study where the authors reported that white athletes had more concussion knowledge compared to African Americans. However, African Americans that had access to an athletic trainer had greater knowledge of concussion signs and symptoms than those without an athletic trainer. The second post reviewed an article where the authors reported that female athletes with an eating disorder will most likely continue to have their eating disorder throughout the competitive season. And finally, the third post introduced the consensus statement on concussion in sport from the 5th International Conference on Concussion in Sport held in Berlin during October 2016. This week, we invited Jessica Wallace, the lead author of the study we described in our first post, to come and discuss her latest findings. Hi, Jessica. Thanks for joining us today to discuss your recent study. I was wondering if you can kind of give the audience a bit of an overview about your study and what you thought were the key take-home messages from it.
Okay, so what we did is we looked at high schools within the state of Michigan. So I was in Michigan for 4 years for a PhD, and the reason I chose high schools is because I'm a former high school athletic trainer. And so what we were looking at is what high school kids know about the concussion, and this was actually part of a kind of a twofold study where we looked at knowledge, but we also looked at reporting behaviors. So what we did is we surveyed schools in various demographics within the state of Michigan. So we were looking primarily suburban neighborhoods and then a lot of urban neighborhoods. And characteristically, there's just a lot of differences between the two communities and also resources at the two types of schools. So we went to the schools and we did the survey with the student athletes. We tried to keep it somewhat of an abbreviated survey just because of the focus and attention that you sometimes get from 14 and 15-year-old athletes. So the instrument that we used was developed down at UNC Chapel Hill by Dr. Jonna Register-Mihalik. And she was able to pass it along to us, and we modified it slightly just because of, you know, some updates and other things that kind of happened with sport-related concussion. So we went to the schools and surveyed them to see what do they know about concussions, and they meaning the high school student athletes. And we looked at knowledge across males and females, contact sports, non-contact sports. We also looked through school type, and then this study primarily looked at some of the racial differences between Black student athletes and white student athletes. Kind of the key home take message and some of the findings, we found that the student athletes in the more urban, predominantly African American communities, they really don't have a lot of resources in terms of healthcare. They don't have access typically to an athletic trainer. But they showed that they just don't know as much about concussion. They were not as aware of the signs and symptoms. Even some of the more hallmark signs and symptoms like headache, dizziness, etc. And so the key take-home message for us really was that the racial differences that we're seeing, we really think are related to a healthcare disparity in some of these neighborhoods. Not really race, but the cultural differences within the communities and also the healthcare disparities between the two communities.
And within your study, did you have any information on other students in the urban settings, whether they be white or Hispanic? And if so, how did they perform on the knowledge assessments?
We did collect across other races and ethnicities. However, we just had such low numbers across some of the other disparities. So we found more of our differences between the Black students and the white students. And so when we looked at the demographics between the schools, our suburban neighborhood schools really were predominantly white, very low percentage of African American. And then we went to our urban schools, in the more predominantly African American neighborhoods, really the bulk of our sample was African American. So we did it within two metropolitan areas. We did this study within Lansing as well as Detroit.
Great. And so based on what you're finding. What do you hope that clinicians, or even broader, the NATA and rest of the sports medicine community would do based on these findings?
So one of our, another kind of like key finding was we found that the African-American students that had access to an athletic trainer had more knowledge than the athletes that did not have access to an athletic trainer. And so in these lower income schools where a lot of the, you know, there's a huge kind of funding disparity as well, the student athletes are really benefiting from the presence of an athletic trainer. They are more, they're more capable of recognizing the signs and symptoms. They're more likely to report, and that was actually from a different part of the study that we were looking at. But when we provide student athletes, especially at the high school level, with concussion education, so many states require some form of concussion education, and in the state of Michigan, they require kind of like a pamphlet information sheet to be taken home, signed and acknowledged by the parent as well as the student athlete. And in the schools without an athletic trainer, you know, they're sending home the same exact materials, but maybe the message is being transpired and kind of relayed in a different way, which could be concerning. Maybe it's not taken as serious. Maybe due to lack of resources, it's kind of like, just take this home, read it, get it signed, bring it back. And so one of the biggest things that I think that we need to kind of see transfer over to the clinical setting is, in some of these communities, we have to think about the way that we are providing education. Education is really not created equal, and sending home a paper to be signed and acknowledged is probably not the most effective thing. And so I think the education needs to change. It needs to be adapted to the community that we're trying to reach. We need to be including some of the, you know, the cultural differences, tapping into some other ways that people learn and the way knowledge is transferred. So I'm really a huge advocate of active education and active learning. And so in the schools that maybe are lacking some type of healthcare resource, like a certified athletic trainer, providing them with more of an active educational opportunity. So something I actually did was created what I call a concussion bingo game. So after assessing the knowledge of the students within these schools, we actually also did a concussion bingo game afterwards. So they were given a bingo card and actually a pack of Skittles or a pack of M&Ms. And so we did an interactive game where we talked about the signs and symptoms, kind of recovery times, the dangers of playing with a concussion. And so then we were looking at, did they learn it, and things after that. So I think that our approach to education needs to change. And that's what I'm hoping starts to transpire into the clinical setting.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, I came out of the Philadelphia Public School District where one athletic trainer typically worked with five or six, if not more, high schools. So you really didn't have much contact. And our healthcare gap there was significant. And so I think it's a really interesting idea. And I like the approach that you took to educate them with a more active learning approach. Do you think that these findings and that approach would work and be found in other cities or states around the country?
Absolutely. You know, we stayed within the state of Michigan. I'm currently in Ohio, and I'm in Youngstown, Ohio, and I'm doing the same stuff here with some of the more urban, predominantly African-American communities here in Northeast Ohio. And the student athletes are receptive to it. They actually enjoy learning. It's not like, oh, here's another concussion form. You know, we really break down the injury. We talk about kind of the definition, what it means, some of the mechanisms of injury, what the signs and symptoms really mean, what to look for, how to look at, you know, your teammates. So even though I may not recognize it in myself, I might recognize a sign and symptom in my teammate. And, you know, we encourage a buddy system of reporting. So I think that we would find the same things in other cities and states, just depending on kind of really the resources that is available to students in certain communities.
Yeah, I like that. And I like the idea of the buddy system. So if one person forgets or misses it, there's somebody else there. And I think a team approach to delivery is probably very cost effective in school districts that probably have a limited budget to deploy educational systems like this.
Yes.
What initially got you interested in this line of research?
So, like I said earlier, I am a former high school athletic trainer. And so I was a high school athletic trainer and a high school PE teacher right out of grad school for 3 years. And I was in one of those schools that were in a suburban neighborhood, you know, very involved parents, predominantly white, middle, upper class, a lot of resources. And this was down in Orlando, Florida. However, we had schools within our district, within our Orlando community, that really had nothing. We would go to their facilities sometimes, and they'd be lucky if they had an athletic trainer. You know, the kids weren't being taped. There was not a whole lot of parent support, and so it really got me thinking, because high school kids within, would say, lower socioeconomic status, predominantly African American, they're more susceptible to getting into some unhealthy behaviors. And I thought, these kids are working hard, they're playing football, they're playing basketball, they're doing the right thing, and they didn't have the support that they needed. And so I wanted to look at it in terms of concussion to say, you know, our sport is a great thing, but are we providing the student athletes with the resources that they need to be successful in the sport? And I kind of, I guess, I looked at it from a concussion standpoint, because I got into the concussion research, and it's kind of a hot topic. It's a booming topic right now. But because of the dangers and kind of all the questions that still remain to be answered, is with these athletes playing sport, really involved, you know, are we providing them with the same resources so they can at least recognize the injury if they don't have an athletic trainer or other healthcare professional there?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. It's really key that if we're going to have people participating in activities that could pose risks of concussions or injuries, then it's important for everybody to be aware of those risks and how to recognize what could potentially happen. And you wonder if we have communities that are not making a fully informed decision, partially because we're failing to educate them. So I think this is a great line of research, and hopefully it raises awareness about the importance of having athletic trainers or other healthcare providers for schools that might not have regular access to them now, just because of the, not just the acute benefits of having access to healthcare and an athletic trainer, but also potentially, like you suggested, the long-term implications of having somebody in the school or in the community that raising awareness about prevention and secondary prevention after an injury like a concussion.
Yes, absolutely.
So before we wrap up, is there anything that you would like to have as a take-home message or one last final thing that you'd like to say to the audience about this study or this area of research or this idea of needing to engage more in these communities?
Yeah, so my take-home message is really that, you know, the sport of football is not going anywhere. It's really common within the high schools. And kind of just piggybacking off of something that you just said, if we're going to have the sport going on, and sport really is a positive thing, and I really am an advocate of the sport of football. If it is played safe, it's coached in a safe way, because there really is a lot of positive things that student-athletes learn from playing sport, including football. And so if we're going to allow them to play football, we really need to be giving all students the same resources to be successful and to play the game in a safe way. And so I think this study is just the beginning of a way to kind of shed light on some health disparities within high school sport, just within communities. And it could be communities that are within, you know, 3-mile radius of each other. But complete difference, understanding, knowledge, as well as resources.
Great. Thanks, Jessica. I think that's a great way to wrap up, and hopefully this research will inspire people to become more active in those communities and to help with the education and providing access. And hopefully in the near future, we'll be able to follow up with you with more research on this topic and intervention strategies that can help address some of the gaps that you're recognizing. So thank you for taking time to chat with us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This past week, our most popular post was a study where the authors concluded that among youth players, both diversification based on playing other positions besides pitching, as well as following current pitch limit regulations, may protect against ulnar collateral ligament injury when they become professional baseball pitchers. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice EUs, then please check out our 4 online courses that are available through the Human Kinetics website. We will have links to these courses, the posts, and the study I mentioned a moment ago on our podcast website. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.